The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
The Sharks and the Jets tonight at SAP Center at San Jose. And Drew, this weekend proves to be a great challenge for the Sharks as we head into Hockey Hall of Fame weekend. You got the Winnipeg Jets tonight. You got the Florida Panthers tomorrow. And one of the toughest things for any young player in many respects to do is to forget about tomorrow night and think of only about tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a weekend or a Friday and Saturday that the Sharks got to be where their feet are, 100% invested and committed to the game they're playing. This is two really good teams. One, the Stanley Cup champions, another team that's been knocking on the door for a while. They just can't seem to get there, but they're very, very good. The Winnipeg Jets are big. They're physical, they're fast, they are skilled, they are every level of their game. Forwards, defense, goaltending is top-notch in the National Hockey League. This will be a huge test for the San Jose Sharks.
I think it's an interesting comparison, too. You got Macklin Celebrini on one side for the San Jose Sharks, right in the top group of the National Hockey League scorers. Number one on the road, by the way, which I continue to marvel at. But on the other side, you've got Mark Scheifele, who consistently has been one of the top scorers in the NHL that nobody talks about.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with playing Winnipeg. You know, not a lot of people watch the Winnipeg Jets unless you're from Winnipeg or in Western Canada. And they are a team that flies under the radar a lot. When we talk about great teams and potential Stanley Cup champs, we talk about Colorado, New Jersey, Vegas, Edmonton, because they got Connor and Leon. You know, you talk about all the other, like Florida, obviously, Tampa Bay. Who mentions Winnipeg?
Nobody.
Nobody.
And they should.
They definitely should. But the Winnipeg just don't mind that. And from a league standpoint, it probably gets a little annoyed when you're looking at everything. But from a local standpoint, that people in Winnipeg love that team. This is a team that has been built to be a winner. They just can't seem to find that next level in the playoffs that you have to get to. But without a doubt, Mark Scheifele is one of the best goal scorers, hockey players in the National Hockey League. Connor Hellebuck's one of the best goaltenders, probably be starting in the Olympics for Team USA. This is a team that's got everything you need to be a winning team. And they are going to be a huge test for San Jose tonight. I mean, it's just going to be... it's going to be the type of game that if you are off just a little bit, it's going to hurt.
Especially because of the way they play physically, yeah. And because they've got all these other weapons. I haven't even mentioned Kyle Connor yet. And here's a guy that can really score. He can snipe, he can fly. Maybe even a little bit light in terms of his girth. But I was trying to compare him to Dylan Larkin the other day. They're slightly different, but they're both speedy guys who can score. I guess Larkin's probably a little better at the setup.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Larkin plays a physical game, but Kyle Connor on the power play is muy dangerous. He is so good at getting that shot off. He gets into position to get that play and that pass, and the Winnipeg Jets do not waste any time with the puck. They are very straightforward. They start moving that puck, and it's one touch passes, and then Kyle Connor can, as you said, snipe like nobody else. When you look at this team, though, I mean, Scheifele is top 10 in scoring, but Connor's all the way down right now, about 20-25. So if you can keep him there tonight, you know, keep him not being as much as a killer to the Sharks as he has been in the past, then things are going to go your way. The big thing that, like Ryan Warsawski talked about, and we talked about it, you know, going into games against the top teams, is that if you can make McKinnon play in his own zone, you're doing a really good job. If you can make Connor and Scheifele, Lowry, and all those guys play in their own zone, you're doing the right thing. So that's got to be the key. Your forecheck's got to be number one.
I thought that one of the observations made last game in the big win in Seattle, which we'll get to in a moment, was made by, I believe, you. And that was the preparation that Doug Huda did with the penalty-killing unit to frustrate Joey Decord to not handle the puck. Colin Graf a couple times sealed off the lane. What about that preparation that you're noticing by the Sharks coaching staff?
Well, it's been... Well, this is an outstanding coaching staff. And as you know, with coaches, they spend all day, all night. Cody Ward and I stay in the same building. His parking spot is next to mine, and the vehicle's never there. I know they're here doing the work. The video coaches and the assistant coaches, they're all doing the work. They get it done.
Does it make you want to change your parking space just so when he comes back that your space is empty so he thinks you're at work too?
No, I have no problem him knowing that I'm a broadcaster and I don't work anymore.
Okay.
So I got no problem with that whatsoever. The whole thing with these games, though, is that you spend, honestly, very little time as a coach worrying about what the other team is doing. Where you spend the most time on your scouting is special teams, because that makes a huge difference. You can scout the forecheck, but the game is so read and react. You can scout what they do in the defensive zone. Is it man on man? Is it zone coverage? But again, the game is so quick and so chaotic that you really don't have any set patterns. On power plays against your team, on penalty kill against your team, there are sets. And you can figure your way around it, or at least let your guys know this is what we have to be aware of.
What about emotional tendencies? And I'm thinking way, way back in the history of hockey. Everybody thinks the Red Wings invented the left wing lock, but it really happened with Bob Johnson and the Calgary Flames when they had to play the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton demanded that they had to break the puck out on the right side of the ice. So to force them to the wrong side of the ice was something that they didn't adjust to or never had to. They did that in the playoffs, the way that the first version of the left wing lock happened, and Calgary beat Edmonton in that playoff series. How often does the emotional side of things, that the way that the teams react to adversities, affect your preparation?
Well, I think you have to have as large a sample size as possible. We did the same thing to Paul Coffey and the Detroit Red Wings in the first year we made the playoffs. We knew if we forced Paul Coffey to his forehand side, chances were he'd dump it in. We knew that also if Paul Coffey got to his off-wing side, he was dangerous. So there is that.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. But there is that, I think, only really in the playoffs. And you saw it maybe with LA and Edmonton last year and the way that they played their 1-3-1 and they're backed up. In a regular season game where you're playing these guys the one time and you had two games to watch, I don't know how much that plays into it.
So now let's talk about the last game against the Seattle Kraken. So many things went right. Four games in a row now the Sharks have allowed two goals against or less, but this was the first time they only allowed one. What'd you see?
Yaroslav Askarov was fantastic. He made 28 saves, and some of them were of the very difficult variety. And you and I have talked about this a lot, and it's not my line. I can't even remember. I think it was Daryl Sutter who said it, was the fact that sometimes it's not how many you make, it's when you make them. And there were moments in the game where Yaroslav Askarov made saves that saved the game, but certainly stopped momentum from going against San Jose. I thought he was brilliant. I thought that their defense was really good. I thought because the Sharks did a nice job tracking back, allowed the stand up, the one goal that was scored. I think that was Ethan Cartwell's goal, if I remember correctly. Good play by Klingberg at the blue line. Turns the puck over, Wenberg gets it, bang, they go up and they get the goal. So that's going to be really important tonight. You have to be able to make sure that you play defense first. Let the defense set up your offense, and I think that's what they did against Seattle. You look at the long pass to Foley; that was a penalty kill. They scored on a penalty kill, and then they scored on Ty Dellandrea, and then they scored right after the penalty kill because their defense was taking care of the job.
One other note: last game we had the Marchmont family reunion. Now we got the Lowry family reunion. As Adam Lowry is back to health, and he's looking pretty good.
He looks fantastic. And, and again, like Mason Marchment, we got to see him when they were little guys running around. But I remember Adam Lowry. He was always the biggest kid you ever saw in your life at 9 years old. And he's still big.
He's a big man, and this is a big game. We're on the air at 6:30, the Sharks and the Jets, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. That's it for the Morning Skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.